Okay, so welcome back to All Good in the Brotherhood podcast with me, Brother Francisco, and Nate Whitaker. Although he is not physically present with me right now, he is with us over the phone. So what's up, my dude?
I'm with you in spirit, bro.
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
How is your spirit today?
How's my spirit? My spirit is great, dude. It's been a good day. I just downloaded the Hallow app. That's been pretty clutch.
Okay, nice.
Doing some prayer with that earlier, so that was really nice. And yeah, day's been pretty good. How about you?
Today, I mean, weather-wise, today is fantastic. Can't beat like 72 in end of October with all the leaves.
Oh, it's glorious.
It looks like fall, but it feels like summer. That's like my favorite combo.
It's absolutely the perfect combo. We got an Indian summer going on because it dipped.
It's true.
Temperatures dipped pretty bad a few weeks ago, and we got a frost, but now we're back up to basically summer temperatures. So
I forgot that that's what they call it.
Yeah.
I only remember that phrase from Little House on the Prairie. I think tells Laura that because he's a farmer or whatever, and he can tell the seasons and how things are coming, that they're going to have an Indian summer or something like that. So
right.
That's cool.
Good reference, though. Pa is low-key the coolest dad in TV history.
Well, and just in history. I mean, he's not just a TV character.
Well, no, he's like, real, we're big fans of our dad, and there's a lot of good dads out there. But as far as characters in a show go, he's got to be one of the top three dads of all time.
He's pretty cool.
He's good.
He's pretty cool. So, yeah, I'm doing pretty well. Still a little sore, but honestly, today much, much better than the last 2 days.
Yeah, dude. You must be pretty dead. You just completed the marathon.
I did. 26.2 miles.
Quads?
Officially one of those guys. My quads.
Awesome.
As of today, are much better. I didn't totally hate every step I took. Monday and Tuesday was worse.
Going upstairs probably hurt though, right?
Upstairs was actually not as bad as you think. Coming downstairs was miserable, just because there's a lot more pressure on your quads. Upstairs, I think you put more pressure on your calves.
Right.
And yeah, coming downstairs, there's a couple times there my legs just almost gave out, and I just almost full sent it downstairs. It's like, ah. I give up on life. I ran 26. Like, if I end now,
yeah,
like, it, nah, I peaked.
Retire.
Yeah, exactly. But
yeah. So how was the race? Like, what was your experience of running a marathon?
Yeah, dude. That's what I wanted to talk about. So good intuition. It's almost like you knew that this was planned. Yeah, dude.
That's crazy.
Well,
we communicated about this before doing this episode.
Wild about that. And, oh, for those of you who forget what Nate looks like or don't know, here's a picture right here. Yeah, so we'll bring that up periodically just so you remember his beautiful face.
Okay, now I'm really wondering which picture of me you just picked. But
I'll leave that up for a surprise. Well, yeah, just even before I get into the race, just like a little background of why I decided to run a marathon. Because, I mean, you know, I've told this to a lot of people. If you had asked me a year ago, or maybe even like 6 or 7 months ago, would you ever run a marathon? I would have told you flat out, absolutely not. I mean, yeah, you,
really? Wait, why is that?
I think I just didn't really see the point of running that far. I was like, a 5K or 10K, that seems like a good race distance. I was also just kind of hesitant the idea of like all that training, because I figured it would detract a lot from like my other exercise, like working out or lifting. And I've kind of liked a lot of the gains I've seen in lifting since I've become a monk. So I was like, I don't want to lose those. But yeah, I don't know. And I just knew it was like, well, you know, I'll never be like a crazy good distance runner, but I can probably be like pretty good at like mid short distance races, like 5Ks or something. But yeah, I don't know. So we did the, as in me, Tom, our older brother, Sarah, our sister, Brother Bosco, and he's now Brother Jacob, but back then he was a postulant, James. We ran in the Pittsburgh Marathon as a relay race. Which we're planning to do this year, and you better be on the team, Nate. Otherwise, yeah, I know. I'm just kidding. I know you're going
to
be on it.
Oh, bro, I wanted to do it the last 2 years.
I know you have.
College every time.
Yeah,
so.
I know. I'm so pumped for you to be on the team this year.
I'm already hyped to do that.
So, yeah, we did the relay race, and We had done it the year before, actually, 2023, and we had done pretty well, but I was still playing rugby at that point, so like my focus on the running was not nearly as dedicated. But this year it was a lot more intentional, and I just saw like so much improvements in my running, and I was able to do both running and lifting like at the same time. Now, I was only running like 4.5 miles in my distance, so it wasn't like training for a marathon or anything, but I was still having really consistent running. And by the time it came for the race, I was in the best running shape I had ever been in my entire life. Being able to maintain like a really, really good pace. And when we were done, and we did like phenomenally well, I think we actually placed, but there's was some really weird like timing issues that happened that like didn't score us. But anyways, that's beside the point. But when we were done, I was just like, man, I was like, I don't want to kind of lose this shape. I mean, I want to keep running. Almost like, if I put in this much work, I should keep it up. So that same week, because that race was on a Sunday, that I think that Wednesday or Thursday, I didn't have much going on. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to try to see how fast I could run a half marathon. The longest I'd ever run in my life up to that point was like 11, 10 or 11 miles. So I'd never run that kind of distance. But I was like, I'm just to see how I can do it. So I just go out and run. And I finish running at about like, what was it? Like 1 hour and 43 minutes. So that's like a 7:45 pace. Having never run a half marathon before.
That's good for a first try.
So I was like,
That's well.
dude, I can do this. I definitely. So at that point, I was like, oh, I think maybe I'm going to look up some like half marathon races to do. That would be pretty sweet. Maybe I'll train for next year's Pittsburgh or I'll find another race. But then I also realized, like, man, I don't really want to wait a whole year. I don't know if I'll still have this kind of energy or motivation to run next year. So, like 2 days later, I just started looking up half marathons, in like the tri-state area for like sometime in September or October, because I figured like that would probably give me a decent amount of time to train, and the fall's a great time to run because the weather's great. But then it just got in my head, like, if you're gonna do a half, why don't you just do a whole dumb thing? I mean, it's an accomplishment to tell someone you did 13.1 because that's a lot.
Yeah, but full send, bro.
With me, competition as one of my strengths, like I just can't settle for that. So I was like, you know what? No, we're just gonna do a full thing. We're gonna do a full marathon. So I was looking stuff up, and the Columbus Marathon came up in October of this year, and the day I was looking up was the second to last day for early bird registration. I was like, you know what? We're just gonna do it. Like, I'm not gonna think about this, which is normally not me. I definitely like think through things a lot like that. But I was like, you know what? No, I want to do this. We're gonna do it. So I full sent, and I'd even convinced a couple of other people to do it with me, or at least to do the half. So two friends, people who worked in campus ministry, like, oh yeah, they were so on board. Well, they ended up not. One because Sophie found out she was expecting, so that was obviously a valid reason not to
Yeah, that's
train for
kind
a
of a
full
valid
marathon.
reason, just a little
She
bit.
did
Just a
run a
little bit.
half actually in Titusville still
That's
in
crazy.
July with Dominique, who was the other girl who I work with.
Bro, that baby's gonna be shredded by the time it
That's
comes
what I
out.
told her.
That's
I
crazy.
said, "You're like you should run with that child like at every stage of their life. So by the time that they're in like their 20s, they're like already an Olympian." Yeah, so I was like, you know what, we're gonna do it. So then I started training in June. And then the both of them told me that they were like, yeah, we're probably not going to do that. So I was like, okay, we're going to do this by myself. But then I was talking to another friend of mine, Lauren, and she had decided that, I don't know, I actually can't remember if it was because I told her that I was doing the full or that we found out individually that we were both training for races. She was training for a half and I was training for a full. And I mentioned to her, like, yeah, well, these other people I was going to run with aren't going to do it now. And she said, well, if I'm doing a half and it's earlier that month, I've already trained. Like, why don't I just run the half that day too? So you have someone to run with. Or at least, someone to support you mentally in the fact that, you're not the only person on that race course who's suffering that you like know.
Right.
And so she did, which was
Solidarity.
super, super awesome. So she was there. And we'll get to that in a little bit. But yeah, that's kind of what got me on board with it. So training was some of the most intense physical activity I've ever done. And, each week running longer than I've ever run in my life. And it was funny. There was one day, I think it was my, when I ran 18 miles in training, I sent a screenshot of it to Lauren, to Brother Finbar, and Brother Bosco, because the two of them were going to come and watch us. And I just sent a screenshot of like, oh, I hit 18 today, like getting close to the longest day before the race. And the, just the pattern that of, because I sent like a screenshot of the map of what I ran. And so Lauren takes it back. She said, were you trying to draw anything, you know, with your route? And I looked at it for a second and it kind of looked like someone was giving the bird. So I'll actually show the picture of this course so you can kind of see an idea of what it looks like. But it really just kind of looks like someone's giving a bird a little That's bit crazy. If you use your imagination. So when she said, what were you drawing? I said, it's a middle finger to the Athenians. And
oh, like, so true.
No one got it for a little while. There was no response. It's like, I didn't think that joke was that niche, but maybe it is. No,
any history joke is niche, bro. We have relative senses of humor based on being homeschoolers, but objectively, I don't think many people know that that's what the marathon is named after.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you want to explain that? What's the origin of a marathon?
Well, yeah, absolutely. So there was a dude who, he wasn't actually, this wasn't the battle between the Spartans and the Athenians. I think this was a battle between basically.
It was a battle of Marathon, right?
It was a battle of Marathon, which was fought against the Persians. Right? And so basically there was a dude, I don't even remember exactly what message he was trying to deliver. Was he trying to deliver that the battle was won?
Yeah, yeah. Persia has been destroyed. We are victorious, something like that.
That's right. Okay, so the Greeks joined forces together and they defeated the Persians who were going to be the would-be conquerors. And then this dude ran right about 26.2 miles all the way back to Athens to deliver the message that the battle had been won. And apparently the story goes, right after he got there and delivered the message, he died. So bro was probably booking it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
What a Chad, dude. Running to deliver a message and then dying. Like, what a punctuation point.
Why didn't they give him a horse? That's what I want to know.
That's true. I wonder. But, and he was probably doing it full armor too, which is also like crazy.
Nah, dude. You know how the Greeks did athletic stuff.
Okay. Well, yeah. He was a soldier though. So maybe he wasn't, you know. Anyways, so that's like the origin. So that's what I was referring to when I said, yeah, it's a middle finger to the Athenians. And it took a while for them to respond. And then they thought it was funny. So that kind of became our joke for the rest of the time. It's just like, keep on running so we can keep on giving those middle fingers to these ancient Athenians, these ancient Greeks. So that actually, she wanted that to be the title of this podcast episode, was a middle finger to the Athenians. But I think we're gonna settle for something else.
In case we have one or two viewers from Greece, I think that's not a good call.
I agree. Actually, I think we might. I think there are a few people who follow us from Greece.
Yo, shout out to all y'all.
Hey. One, a life goal would be to run the original marathon. That is a race, and I would love to do that someday. That would be
actually
sick.
Yeah. Dude.
Anyways, so fast forward to race day, because that's probably what most people are actually
become the original guy
interested in.
Yeah, sorry. So how was the race?
Yeah. So, okay, what do you want? Do you want like a play-by-play? Do you want what was like, how was I feeling, or what was it like? I don't know. It's such a crazy experience. I could talk for honestly hours about it. So what would you first want to know?
Yeah, well, first tell me generally a play-by-play. I kind of want to know the different moments as they happened chronologically. But then after that, I'm going to ask you how you felt at different stages. But first, to start off by telling us how it went.
Yeah, so tried to get to bed somewhat early the night before, but I was honestly like so excited. It was crazy for me. Thinking back, how excited I was to run 26 miles. So I got like some intermittent sleep, woke up at like 4 and was just like geared. So I did my prayer, which was a really good way to settle before the race. Got down to the course. It was pretty chilly, honestly. It was like 39 or 40 when we started. But I was so excited. I didn't really notice the cold that much. So then 7 o'clock, the gun goes off. They shoot fireworks off. And they let the fastest people go first, like the elite runners, you know, because they're actually, you know, competing for the prize. The rest of us are just kind of there. Then they sent us off in waves. I was scheduled to be in the first wave, but I opted to take the second half of the first wave, I guess is what it would be. in hopes that like it would motivate me to pass the people ahead of me. So
Oh,
we
yes, yeah, so you get little adrenaline kicks every
exactly,
little while.
exactly. Yep. So we're going, and honestly, the first like 13 or 14 miles just like flew by. I was feeling great. I was knocking it out of the park. I was running faster than I had in any of my training, and just
Yeah, we tracked you on an app. There was an app for tracking you, and you were cooking. Your time was lower than you expected to be for the first half.
it was and I mean, it's very presumptuous to think at only halfway through a marathon that like I'm gonna kill it, but that's kind of what I felt like at 13. I'm like, man, I'm like doing solidly great here. And part of that I was because, you know, I'd taken like some good energy drinks and ate some good like energy food before. And also just like they call it the runner's high. Like when you get a kick, just like the fact that you're exercising like that, which usually hits me around mile 10. So I was just definitely like in that good place. Well, then we hit the half and so many people split off. There was about 3,500 people who were running the full and about another 7,000 that were running the half. So when all of a sudden you see like 2/3 of people you're running with just go. It takes a little bit out of you, like, oh, wow, I could be that person. I could be done. I feel great. If I finish now, I'd be fine. But you know, just keep on going, keep on going. Well, probably around, I don't know, I think mile 16 is when I started to feel like a little bit of decline. Up until that point, like I said, everything was smooth. I saw a friend of mine from college who I hadn't seen since he graduated. He literally ran up
Wow.
next to me. I'm like, oh, Dugan, what's up? He's like, whoa, what are you doing here? I'm like, well, running, obviously. he was running the half, though.
Nah,
So.
dude, I'm just lost. I was looking for IHOP.
Yeah,
Like,
exactly. It's
what
like I just joined
are you
this
doing
random
here?
race and now I'm going to end up running another 20 something miles. But, you know,
Yeah,
it's just my
whoops.
morning routine.
That's hilarious.
So,
Wait, what good question.
yeah.
When did the runner's high wear off?
Yeah, I think it was about mile 15 or 16. So some of the energy and this like the adrenaline and the runner's high was starting to like come on its descent. So that I was starting to really feel my body. And I definitely probably should have drank like some more of the Gatorade and water stations leading up to that point, but because I was feeling so good, I didn't want to like slow down in any sense of the word. But so I think that probably attributed to some of it too. But yeah, so like mile 16 hits and I just start to feel just like a lowering in my energy, and that my calves are getting a little tight, or not my calves, my quads. But it wasn't too bad. I didn't drop my pace like extraordinarily, because I was running around like a 7:45, 8 up to this point. And it probably dropped down to like 8:15. So I was like, okay, like I can hold this. And if I keep this, I'll still hit roughly what I wanted my goal pace to be by the end, which was like a 3:30. So I'm like, we're going, we're going. Well, then there's a slight incline. We start hitting a hill around mile 18. And bro, it just takes it out of me. I start dropping like another 15, 20, 30 seconds off my pace. And I like trying mind over matter, like, no, go faster. But I could not make myself go any faster. So I was like, okay, well, we're just gonna go at this pace then, I guess, right now. So we're kind of plodding more at like an 8:40 now. And it's getting worse and worse. Like I'm just feeling my energy just slowly decline more and more and more. And it's defeating because now people are starting to pass me because I'm slowing down. Other people who have their energy or who have conserved themselves maybe better than I did are starting to run past. So started to now also compare myself, be like, oh gosh, dang it. Like, why, what am I doing wrong? Why couldn't I hold this? Like, I've run 20 miles before and didn't die. Like, I'm not even at 20 yet, and I'm already like falling apart. And I still have 6 more freaking miles after that to go. So I try to get, I have, they have these things called like energy gels or runner gels. They're basically like gelatin that has like sugars and caffeine and electrolytes and stuff. So I had a few in my pocket. So I took one of those and they act up, or like they hit you really quick. So like probably like 10, 15 minutes later, I was like, oh, okay, I feel a little better again. So I start moving, moving, moving. Then mile 20 hits like an absolute bus. And it just starts slowing down, slowing down. And I still like going. Well, the problem was, I know this guy like meant to be encouraging, but I hit mile 20 and he's like, all right, you got it. Only a 10K left. I was like, oh my gosh, 10K.
That's
Run
brutal.
this far already. People were so encouraging, and I'll like maybe we'll talk about that part too in a little bit. But on your race bib, it has your name, and people calling me by my name, like, "Yeah, Francisco, let's go. You got this. You're doing so great." That was so helpful. Being called by name for encouragement. Like, if I ever watch a race again and I know that person's name, it's just so good to use it. Because instead of just like a general, like, "Oh, runners, you got it," which people were doing, which is still supportive. But man, when they use my name, it's just like, okay, like, yes, Francisco, I can do it. You know, we can do it.
It makes you feel like you're seen as an individual.
Exactly.
Person, not
yeah.
As a general crowd member.
Mm-hmm.
And they say the sweetest sound in anyone's ear is the sound of their own name. So
I like that. So,
so there you are.
Yep.
You got hit by a bus.
And I just start declining more and more and more. And then.
Now, the race itself at this point, was it level or were you still going uphill?
Oh, at this point, it was pretty level. Yeah. It, honestly, generally overall, it was like a pretty flat course. There was a hill at around like, I don't know, like 13, and then again at 18, and then one more at 22. So between 18 and 22, it was like still mostly flat. And then I hit 21, 22, and oh my gosh. I thought 20 was bad. These 2 miles, oh, it sucked. It was somewhere between 21 and 22. I rounded a corner, and I didn't mentally – I mean, I was, like, shuffling at this point. Pace was declining now over a nine-minute mile, and I'm just
wow.
I'm shuffling. And I turn a corner, and without like mentally deciding on this or whatever, I just stop running. And my body just – I feel like there is actually no energy left in my body, and it just shuts off. And I just kind of am standing there for a second. And then I just start walking because I'm like, I actually don't know if I can keep on running.
Well, you got to keep moving.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, if you stop altogether, you're done. But I said to myself, okay, you know what? Screw how long it takes me. I am finishing this damn race. But if I have to just walk, I guess I'm just going to have to walk. So I'm walking a little bit, and I had one more gel in my pocket. So I decided to take it, and just like maybe mentally, because I took it or whatever, it gave me just a little enough to be like, okay, you can jog. You might not be able to run anymore, but you can jog. So I was able to like shuffle for a while more. And yeah, it was really like, I mean, my pace was nothing close anymore to what I wanted it to be. But at this point, I was like here for survival. My goal had been to run a 3:30. And at this point, I'm like already at, like, I know I'm going to be over it. So I'm like, you know what? It's just okay. We're stop comparing yourself to the people who are running past you. Stop comparing yourself to Brother Bosco because he's the one his time you're trying to beat, but you know you're not going to. Like, you're still going to finish, so, like, okay. And then came a water station, like, around 23, and I just stopped to drink the water because I just needed it. And if you're jogging while you try to drink, it just sloshes everywhere. So I started walking again and didn't want to run. I was like, come on, bud, you got to finish. And people are just being so encouraging. Then I hit 24. And that's where I saw Brother Bosco, Brother Finbar. Lauren had finished her half, so she was there cheering. A family named the Garlands, who are friends of Lauren and Brother Finbar, who are from Columbus, they were all there watching to cheer us. And they were just all going crazy when I was coming around 24.
That's awesome.
And then there was a slight downhill. And I was like, okay, you know what?
Praise God.
You can coast for 2 miles. You can do it. And my pace picked up, probably like almost 30 seconds. Faster for the last
That's
two
awesome.
Something miles. And it's funny, Bosco has a picture of, and I'll show that real quick, the picture of me here at like mile 8, and I'm super excited, clearly jazzed, and then there's a mile picture at 25, and I just am in so much misery.
Wild.
It's just, yeah, I'm not even looking at the camera. It's just like zero part of me wants to be there.
Understandably.
But yeah, that's kind of like the general play-by-play. And I did finish with a 3:42, which ends up being like an 8:30 overall pace.
Yeah, that's fine, bro. First time.
Which, yeah, I mean, compared
Plenty
to the average,
future,
is still.
I'm guessing.
Well, yeah, I think there's a higher likelihood in that than I ever would have guessed of maybe doing them again. But anyway, so that's the general play-by-play.
That's awesome, dude. Thanks for sharing that. Now, you said at some points you were trying to like kind of boost yourself mentally.
Mm-hmm.
Were there any points where you started talking to yourself out loud?
I think there was like two or three times I did. And those weren't necessarily like telling me like, okay, Francisco or Sam, whatever I tell myself, you know, like keep it up or get moving. It was more, I actually had written on my forearm a name for each mile. And I was offering up that mile in its pain, its joy, and its suffering for that person and their intention. So I had that on my arm the whole time. And so during the really, really sucky miles, I just kept on looking at my arm and saying that person's name out loud to myself and, like, saying prayers, said a lot of Hail Marys. And actually, a prayer that I just, like, was saying over and over to myself was the final prayer of the Divine Mercy Chaplet, you know, Eternal God in whom mercy is endless. And then especially, like, focusing on the part that I might not despair nor become despondent. Because I was definitely, like, borderline despairing that I'm not going to finish this race.
At the very least, probably feeling despondent. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't want to respond to any of this. Like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to be here. I'm like, what's the good in any of this? And then just realizing, you know, like, a race that gets you the time that you want is awesome, but a race in which you can suffer for other people, like,
yeah,
that's honestly, on the spiritual realm, way better.
That's beautiful. Yeah.
So that, and then
it's more similar to the Via Dolorosa.
Right? Yeah.
Not a particularly enjoyable experience, right? But it's, or even triumphant in its own way, but it's more something that can be offered up.
Yeah, honestly. And when I was really in the throes of it, I was thinking, like, well, apparently God wants this person to get, like, a lot of extra grace. And, you know, maybe they're, like, maybe I'm feeling physically a little bit of what they're going through mentally or emotionally or spiritually. So I put I put the family on the back half. So you were
good. You knew we all needed
exactly
more intense
suffering. Yeah, I think you were, like, mile, I want to say, let's see, 14, 15. I think you were mile, like, 18 or 19. So you were definitely, like,
nice, right, when your life was sucking for
right,
you.
Yeah, right when I wanted to just cancel on everything.
Perfect. I'm glad to hear that.
So
thanks for that, bro. I actually really appreciate that. That's super cool. By the way, were there any points where you started going loopy? Like, I know there's the runner's high, but I know, especially if maybe you're lacking hydration or whatnot and you're just running, you can reach a point where you start not tripping out, but getting kind of moving around, like things become blurry, you know, you maybe enter tunnel vision. Did you have any moments like that?
Yeah, so at that time when I had to, my body just stopped moving around 22, that was happening. Like, as I was walking, I didn't feel like I was in reality. Like, things were kind of, like, floating around left and right, and I knew I was moving forward, but it didn't feel like I was moving. And
that's lit, dude. So why use hallucinogens when you can just go for a long enough run, I guess?
Exactly, you know, and what are the health benefits, too, you know?
Absolutely, well... Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, it was crazy. But
what was the best moment of the race? Other than maybe the start, maybe it felt really good at the beginning, but
yeah,
what was a moment that stood out as the best?
Honestly, I think when it came time for the half marathon people to split off, like when I hit that point, because I kind of knew that the first half was not going to feel that bad. Just because in training, I've run over half marathons, you know, weeks after weeks after weeks, probably like 6 or 7 times. So I knew I could get to that distance without much difficulty. It was when I hit that point, especially since we split and they started going downhill and we started going uphill, I just knew, like, okay, you're going to have to actually put in some work now. Like, yes, you've been putting in work, but you haven't really felt it. You're going to actually have to put in some work. And it just kind of floored me of, like, you know what? Like, we're going to do this. We're going to finish. We're going to cross. And those people chose a half, good for them. I mean, that's a huge accomplishment. I chose the full and we're just going to dig in. And knowing that, I was like, I will also see that finish line. It's just going to take way longer for me to get there. But it felt like such a sense of accomplishment that, like, I'm actually running this thing. And now is the deciding factor. Like, once you pass this option to go left and you don't take it, it's only ahead. It was really cool. I think the post I put on Instagram was just praise God that his grace is sufficient, or praise God that his power is made perfect in our weakness, because it's exactly what I felt a lot of the time near the end, especially.
That's awesome. We have a lot of moments like that in our lives where we make some sort of decision and there's a process of decision making or kind of a grace period in which we can still go back on our word or maybe change our minds, But then it's really an exciting feeling when you take that leap of faith. And in this case, for you, it was choosing to keep going on, just pass by that last opportunity to end the race for yourself easier. But we have stuff like that where we feel the end of a grace period coming on, and we just got to make a decision and just stick to the hard thing and allow ourselves to endure a longer suffering. But it's scary approaching those moments, I think, but it feels so good right afterwards when you finally just confidently make that decision that no, I'm not gonna buckle, I'm not gonna give up, I'm just going to make this hard decision and stick with it.
And the thing about that though, just like I've been reflecting a lot because Bosco asked me like what was the most spiritual part of the race, and I told him that it was when my that same moment where I just really felt like I don't know if I can finish. Because it was at that moment that I were kind of was thinking like, this is not the race I envisioned. This is not what I had in mind for what to happen. I've gotten this far. Why can't I go just a little bit farther? What is wrong with me? What did I choose to do? What didn't I choose to do that should have helped? Why couldn't I have controlled myself a little bit more in the first 10 miles? That probably would have assisted me finishing these last five. There's like all these things going back and forth. And then it kind of dawned on me that that is exactly what we do in the spiritual life. We envision what it's going to be like to have a relationship with God. And times we're floored and we're excelling and we're running the race. And then other times we're still on the road of the race, but we aren't moving forward the way we thought. It doesn't feel the same. It is so painful. It's only uphill. It's draining. And we're still going towards the finish line. But we didn't, we thought we would pass in glory or that we would run across it with energy left over. And that's just not going to necessarily be the case. And there'll be
And in
people who
those
are
moments,
cheering on you or who like the saints, the intercession of the saints, you know, calling us by name that like might help us move a little bit farther, but they're not going to get us across the finish line in the end. Like it's only grace that gets you there.
absolutely. And I think in those moments where our spiritual lives unfold in a different way than we envisioned, our preconceived expectations can actually multiply our sorrows because, we, like you said, imagine a certain way that our spiritual life is going to go, and we imagine it being very blissful. And as they say, hope springs eternal. So no matter how many experiences we've had in the past where things don't quite work out the way we plan, we still always believe that this next time things are going to work out just how I imagine. And then we kind of add to our own grief because when we have those expectations, then when things start unfolding or unraveling in a way that's not necessarily ideal, then aside from just that the things don't feel ideal, we also now beat ourselves up because we say, wow, not only does this hurt, but this isn't how I imagined it was going to go. And so we kind
Dude,
of
yep.
heap it on ourselves. But I guess the rewarding thing therein is just to what I mean, what you had to do physically, but what we all have to do spiritually to some extent is just keep on keeping on and
Yep,
swallow our pride. Because that
perseverance.
was the thing. It sounded like there's a moment in the race where you just had to swallow your pride and recognize I'm not going to get maybe the time that I imagined, but I'm going to get the time that I'm going to get, and I'm going to strive hard to make that as good as possible.
Yeah, dude, and I totally agree that like even in like the sense of accomplishment when I finally did finish, I think some of those things were still lingering. That like this isn't what I was hoping, and this was not expecting. So it almost like soured some of it for a while. It's like, man, like okay, like why it was literally 12-minute difference. Why couldn't I have done like just 12 minutes better? And it definitely comparison was going on, and definitely, and they say comparison is the thief of joy. So that if
Yeah, you probably lost some of the joy from just finishing the
I
race.
did, yeah, no, it's true, and just like almost looking at like other ways to like escape that reality that like maybe you didn't do as well as you wanted, but you still finished.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's crazy. I like how you said it like compounds your sorrows because I mean I've had so many people just like, oh, congratulations, that's amazing. I could never do that much. I had one monk say, he's like, you know what? I think he said, except for sleeping, I don't think I've ever done anything that consistent long in my life. And you literally
That's so
ran
honest. I
that
love
long.
that.
And I was like, yeah, dude, that's true. And but then like the other times where like people have zero concept, they're like, oh, like so an 8:30, so that's like a trot, right? Like, are you kidding me? Like,
Yeah.
how about I trot and you run and I probably will still beat you? But you know what I mean?
Well, hold on there. You just sound a little, yeah.
No, so that's what I'm saying. Like, what I'm saying here, Nate, is not like, oh, let me like get, I let myself get tussled about those things because of the way I had let myself get affected, versus still being like living in the joy of what happened. And I've definitely been able to come out, like, I think today especially, like yesterday evening and today, just kind of reflecting, like, man, like it happened. Like it happened and that was awesome. And
Yeah.
I had a goal and I reached that goal. The goal from the beginning was run 26.2 miles, right?
That's
I set
awesome.
an extra
Right.
goal on top of it to like aim for a
Yes.
time because I'm a competitive person,
And
right?
we often do that, especially you and I and many of us are
Exactly.
competitive people, so we like to set goals for ourselves as ideals, but part of humility is learning to accept that those goals might not always pan out.
And yeah, it's just, and
But it's
especially
okay.
when I look at my prayer life and like in correlation to the marathon, it's like I put in so much work into this marathon to reach a goal. And maybe if I didn't quite reach that goal, like I still want to work hard. But then thinking about like prayer life, it's like, am I willing to put in that much work into my prayer? Because the difference between the goal for the marathon and the goal of prayer is that one is a relationship with God and the finish line is heaven. Another one is just an arbitrary time.
That's true.
And that if I'm worked up and upset about marathon, then I should really also focus like 3 to infinity times more on prayer. And people aren't going to
Yep.
congratulate me for, oh, good job, you prayed well today, or you have a really
No.
good pace in prayer. But that's the finish line that St. Paul talks about when he says run so as to win, you know? You aim for the goal, but unlike a marathon, like you don't actually stop training. But at the same time, we do need to treat it like a marathon in a sense that we can't just sprint expecting that like we're going to excel or move forward exponentially at all times when we're dedicated to prayer and a relationship with God.
Yeah.
That sometimes it is really going to feel like that uphill battle. We're going to lose so much energy. Yeah, those are just some thoughts I'm spitting out.
No, I love that. And I think in what's common to both these is just humility has to be a part of perseverance.
I love
Because,
that.
like what you said, it's not just that you envisioned a race going a certain way and that was some event that was coming up in your future and then maybe didn't unfold exactly the way you hoped. But you not only envisioned that ideal, but you also worked really hard to do everything you could to make sure that it was going to happen. So you were being perseverant, but you need to root that perseverance in some humility, recognizing that no matter how hard you try, things aren't always going to go right. And when I say you, I don't mean you,
Yeah,
I mean
right. No,
any of
no.
us.
Yeah, anyone.
Because that's something that sometimes the thing is, I think sometimes we might be tempted to compensate for a lack of humility by just focusing on diligence or perseverance, where we say, well, yeah, I don't have to accept that I don't have to learn to accept defeat gracefully because I'm just going to work
I'm
so
never
hard that
going to
I'll
get
never
defeated.
have to. If I'm just diligent enough, if I'm persevering enough, then I will never have to suffer defeat and I won't have to be humbled in that way. Even if we don't say that to ourselves out loud, we sometimes think that subconsciously. But it's really important to say, no, I'm going to work hard. I'm going to work my ass off and be perseverant. But it might not even go the way I plan in spite of that. And yet the perseverance is still worth it, right? The
It's
working towards
virtue.
that goal is always still worth the effort.
Yeah, you know, that's oftentimes I don't love the, you know, it's not about the destination, it's about the journey. Like sometimes that like platitude kind of
That's
bothers
pretty
me.
cringe overall, especially spiritually.
But I kind of get more what you're saying about that here. That like, okay, yeah, yes. If you don't accept the journey gracefully, or with humility, then even if you get to the goal, it's not as good. Because if you get there with almost a sense of I did this, then you're not going to look at the other graces or the other things that got you there. Versus in humility, you could say, okay, I did everything I could, but there was still some things that were outside of my control.
Yes.
And I'm going to humbly accept those things as what God designed to be part of this journey. And I definitely like part of that, I talked about like people encouraging me, you know, by name. So I just also like community, the community around like this race and preparation, and the community in it just was so good. I mean, if Lauren wasn't running the full, but if she wasn't running the half, I also don't think I would have been as motivated to continue my training even prior to the moment, because just, you know, she's from St. Louis, so I don't like to see her. But
right.
the knowing that, like, okay, she's training her hardest for her race, I got to train my hardest for my race. And then when we're running, I know she's putting her effort out, so I got to put my effort out. People are on the sidelines cheering and encouraging. And guys, even runners, you know, because I know I was like falling apart near the end, this one guy who we had been like passing each other back and forth over the course of the whole race just came up behind me and he's like, dude, you got it. Like, he said, you're a champ and I'm just going to run with you for a little while just to like, so that you're okay. And I was like, dude, thank you.
What a stud. That's awesome.
And he's, and then when we were going, he's like, all right, you got this. You got this. He said, you don't need me. He said, you can finish on your own. Like, you got it. I was like, dude, yeah. Like, and that's exactly what we need in the spiritual life too. Just like those reminders of perseverance. But if we're prideful about it, we'll not be able to receive them well. And then we're depriving ourselves of so much more goodness than we would be if we can also be humble about achievement.
Yeah. You know, I think it's significant. Disagreeing with what you're saying, I love that you brought up the idea of encouragement. And it's such a grace from God that stranger showed you encouragement. But it seems significant to me that St. Paul, who was arguably one of the most hardworking of the first... sorry.
You're good.
I have a little bit of a cough right now. St. Paul was arguably one of the most hardworking Christians in the early church.
Mm-hmm.
And so he demonstrated through his missionary work the virtue of perseverance. He demonstrated diligence so much. He demonstrated that willingness to put in hard work all the time and strive to run the race well, right? He always strived run so as to win. And yet, who did he choose as his companion? He chose Barnabas, who obviously we know the name Barnabas means son of encouragement. So
I love that.
It's so useful if we approach any task or any source of growth in the spiritual life or the physical life or any aspect of our lives. When we're trying to approach some goal and we want to work hard at it, we have to remember to surround ourselves with encouragement. And we have to find friends who are going to be there to encourage us. And we have to be willing to encourage our friends when they themselves are striving for goals. Because, you know, be the change you want to see. Like, if you want someone to show you love in some way, you got to be willing to first show it to them. So we got to be encouraging to our brothers and sisters, either through, like, those words of encouragement, like that one guy did in the race.
Yeah.
Or through just that quiet accountability that you had in the form of Lauren, where you knew, like, you didn't have to be seeing her throughout the race and checking in on her. You just knew that she was there. She was pushing herself and you were pushing yourself and you were both motivating each other spiritually. So I don't know, that just kind of struck me that without encouragement, motivation and hard work aren't going to go that far because we're not made to be perseverant in isolation from each other.
Yeah, dude, that's so good. And yeah, good, like you mentioned the Via Dolorosa, right? Jesus' own suffering journey. Like Mary's presence was his encouragement.
Absolutely.
And it's one of the sorrowful, or it's one of the stations of the cross, right? Jesus meets his mother. And especially, I love that scene in the Passion where, you know, she runs to him and is like imagining him falling as a child.
Oh, dude.
And then she...
That scene every time is game over, bro. When, when he looks at her and he says, "See, woman, I make all things new."
Yeah, I know.
"Or see, mother, I make all things new."
It rips you
My
in half.
Face just erupts in tears. It's crazy.
It's you know so what I mean? Good.
It's like a freaking geyser.
What I love that she says is just like, "I'm here." And like that's the encouragement that Jesus needed right there. It's just like, "I am here. I'm suffering with you. I'm here." And that encouragement of presence. So however we can encourage other people with presence, whether it's words of encouragement, just reminding them like, "Hey, I am here when you need me," or "I'm going to go out there with you and run that race or lift with you or go out and pray with you. When you're struggling with your addiction, I'm going to sit here with you." Any of those things, like that's why like St. Paul talks about like this race, right? Because, and he says that, you know, there are athletes in this stadium. You know, he's not talking about one person running a race on your own. Running a race on your own makes absolutely no sense. Competition doesn't exist if there's not actually someone else that also you're running with or against.
True. Iron sharpens iron.
But And that, I feel like that having competition itself is a form of encouragement, if it's done well and received humbly, because the people are saying, like, look, like all together we can do this. If you're not here, I have no reason to run, but you being here actually is an encouraging reason for me to run too. And to take that into the spiritual life, like I pray not because it's just because of me, like that just I need prayer, because the body of Christ needs it. And if I don't pray, if one member suffers, the whole body suffers.
Absolutely, dude.
So, yeah, man.
Having the strength to show somebody else that you respect them enough to push them is such a deep form of love. Like if you have a little bit of love for somebody, you might be nice to them all the time. You might not want to ever push them outside their comfort zone. But if you love someone to a really deep level, if you love someone on a deep level as Christ would love them, then sometimes that means encouraging them through the form of pushing them outside their comfort zones and allowing them to do that for you too,
Yeah,
allowing them to push you
exactly.
outside their comfort zones through kind of like you're saying, this mentality where iron sharpens iron and you're both in this race striving for the crown of glory. And just one thing though I wanted to say is it seems really important that oh man, what was I gonna say? What were we talking about just a minute ago?
Prior to the idea of encouragement, or
No, within the idea of encouragement, oh, what was I gonna say? Oh, yes, sorry.
you're good.
So you mentioned that it's really important when we're striving for goals to be encouraging each other. But I think sometimes we need to recognize that some of our brothers and sisters in Christ might need encouragement just to get through the day. Like the goal for them is not to run some marathon, it's not to accomplish some really great achievement in their career. Maybe the next step for them, the next goal that they're just trying to achieve is getting through the next day, getting through the next week, making it past some current suffering that's in their life. And they need encouragement, like words of encouragement, like concrete affirmations, just to be able to stay afloat and to be able to feel the love of Christ in a concrete way. And I think what partly made me think of this is just this great quote I heard by Jordan Peterson one time on an interview where he said, "There are so many people that are just dying for lack of an encouraging word." And that's kind of a sad quote in a way, but it's true that our world is devoid of encouragement. It's so filled with people that are feel they feel isolated, they feel lonely, and they feel often invisible. And so it's an enormous expression of love to simply show encouragement to other people and say, "Hey, I love you. I see you. Here's a way in which I see that you're making good progress, right? Here are the ways in which I could see I'd be willing to help you through accountability and help you grow because I care about you. But here are the ways in which you're already doing things well. And I'm just going to keep praying for you that you keep progressing in those ways." And that can happen verbally, but it can also just happen through spending time with those people and saying, I'm gonna spend some of my weekend with you, even though maybe you're not someone I'm ordinarily that close with, but I see that you need encouragement, and so I want to provide that for you."
Yeah.
But sorry, we've kind of gone on a tangent towards
No.
encouragement, but I think
Yeah,
it's just really
I no.
important
That's
in this whole
look,
theme.
that was the like central to like finishing. Like without
Yeah.
encouragement. If I didn't see Bosco, Finbar, Lauren, and the Garlands at mile 24, especially all because it was really cool. Lauren actually made special t-shirts for everyone, including the Garlands kids, and they have three. One of them is like just an infant. She had a onesie. But she
Aw.
made All Good in the Brotherhood podcast running shirts for everyone.
Dude.
So it has the Benedict Medal and says All Good in the Brotherhood podcast on established
Got
2022.
merch.
And it's a really quality shirt, really nice. It's a running
Heck
shirt, so
yeah.
that's what I wore for the race. But even like that, like they're supporting more than just running, right? They're supporting who I
Yeah.
am. They're supporting the things that I love, the things that I strive to be. And
They
that
actually know you, right? They've taken
exactly,
time to know
yeah.
something about you.
And I think that what you're talking about encouragement, and when she said like I know you and I love you, we should really all work on specializing our encouragement for our friends.
Yes, not being generic.
Yeah, exactly. That's why sometimes I struggle with affirmations and encouragement of other people is because I don't want to sound generic. I don't want to sound
Yeah.
like I'm giving platitudes
You
to
don't want to
people.
sound cheesy and superficial, so you avoid it altogether, right?
But when I truly care about someone, I feel like I've learned how to really give them a word of affirmation that means something that they know is true and not just me
Right.
saying something. And I know when I've received that at times, there are some friends who they know the kind of encouraging words that will actually really, really mean something to me. And if someone can tell me like, oh, Francisco, you're a super good athlete, I'm like, yeah, like I know that. I don't like, you know, I don't always necessarily need to be encouraged in that. But if someone is like, Francisco, you're a good friend, that's a really good word of encouragement for me, because I often struggle to think that I am actually am a good friend. So when someone recognizes, particularly those places that we doubt about ourselves, if someone can speak the truth into like, no, I want to encourage you against the lie that you believe that is actually true. So yeah, I think that's
And I
something
thought a
for
matter of
us to like,
deceiving you and saying,
exactly.
oh, I
Yeah.
think he's just worried that he might not be a good friend, so I'm going to say he's a good friend. It's they genuinely recognize a good in you that you fail to see in yourself.
Right. So maybe that should be our homework this week. Pick one or two people who you're close with and give them an encouraging word that maybe it takes you a little time to think about it or to formalize, because you want to be act really intentional about it, specific.
Yeah,
Send someone a
exactly.
text, or give them, better yet, call them straight up and just say, hey, I want to tell you this. I want to encourage you here, because this is what I see, or this is what I love about you. And just be really, really specific and intentional and personal about it with them. Not just like, oh, you like, I love, you know, what blah, 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 X, Y, and Z that like I could love about almost anyone, or even about a dog. No, that something be something, especially if you know you're one of the only people that knows this about this person. Encourage them in that place. So,
Absolutely. Yes. And that should be the homework.
yeah.
We have to each give some encouragement to some people and specific stuff, like you said, and stuff that's tailored to the person themselves.
So sweet.
And honestly, if that's not comfortable for them, or like if
You
you're the
mean in giving or
person
receiving?
feel, oh, no, like giving it.
Okay,
Like
yeah.
if anyone in the audience, because it can
You know,
feel
it can feel weird.
abnormal for us. It's not something our society generally does. Like
Drives.
people
Yeah, no,
don't
we
actually just
don't.
go around and throwing encouragements at one another. So it feels almost awkward or cheesy. But if we're uncomfortable with giving encouragements to other people, first of all, we need to recognize that
Yeah.
discomfort and acknowledge that that's a flaw in ourselves that we need to work on. But we also need to ask ourselves, would we rather run the risk of maybe seeming cheesy or superficial by giving out these words of encouragement, or would we rather, on the other hand, avoid being cheesy or avoid any risk of putting ourselves out there, but then wind up just failing to be a good friend or failing to provide a moment of grace for somebody?
What someone needs. Yeah, that's a good
Because,
thought.
especially you said, just reaching out and actually calling somebody to say something kind to them could make their day, could make their week,
Yeah, you
it
have no
could
idea.
change their life. Right? It sounds dramatic, but there are so many stories when people tell about their conversion stories or stories in which they're telling about how they were at some point in their life depressed or suicidal or something. And they say, but there was just one day where something happened that changed everything. And often those little moments are things like an encouraging word from somebody or
Yeah.
just a random phone call. And that changed their life from going in a very dark trajectory towards being a very positive one. Sorry, what were you going to say?
No, that's all I was just gonna basically say what you said, so good job.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, you're good. No, don't apologize,
Yeah.
dude.
Big
Sweet.
chilling.
Yeah, big chillin'. So
Okay, well,
yeah.
dude, marathon, wow, that was lit.
Yeah,
Have
and
to
this
get back
is
to that.
me formally inviting you to do one with me. So we'll see. I don't know. I think you would
Yeah.
actually enjoy it more than you think.
Oh, no, I actually don't doubt that I would enjoy it because I love running, but.
So, well, maybe we'll see. Maybe somewhere sooner than later, everyone will be able to watch as we both talk about running a race together. Oh, dude,
That'd be sick.
that story would probably also be its own level of metal. Like, that would be
Oh
so sick.
yeah, it'd be hardcore for
I would love
sure.
to finish a 26 miler with you. That would be dope.
Absolutely.
Anyways, hopefully you all enjoyed today's episode. If there's anything you particularly liked, we'd love to hear what it was. Leave that comment below. And specifically, if we got any fellow marathon runners out there, you know, what was your experience like? What did you gain from it? What was something you learned about yourself in it? Join the community of the 0.01% of people who've ever run a marathon in the world, which is crazy.
Nice. That's gnarly.
Or that word of encouragement, maybe that you're going to send a friend. Maybe you don't drop their name, but, you know, what you may be planning on telling someone else so that we can build a spirit of encouragement here in this community, that'd be great. Yeah.
Everybody here do that, by the way.
Everyone
Everybody
do it.
listening to this.
Drop
I'm
you can drop comments
telling
on
that to myself
Spotify
too.
or on YouTube. So if you're only audio or only a video follower. Like, you can do both. Yeah. So sweet.
Totally.
Well, thank you for joining us for All Good in the Brotherhood podcast. I'm Brother Francisco, the monk. Joining me on the phone is Nate, the bro, my blood brother, because I'm finding out more and more people didn't realize that.
Some people haven't realized that this whole time that we're brothers.
Yeah.
So, yeah, read the description of the podcast before you listen to it. It says we're brothers.
It just goes for the throat.
What?
Never mind. Anyways, so thanks, Nate. I appreciate you being on here and be able to tell the story of the race with you.
Absolutely. Yeah. So,
anyways, thank you for your prayers and your encouragement. My family, especially my sister Sarah, was so encouraging in preparation
for it.
She's
the only other one for our family.
Yeah, I know. So far. I know. And it was like 12 or 15 years ago when she ran her race.
Yeah, dude.
So I finally joined the club and the family too. So, yeah. Thank you all for joining. Hope you have a wonderful, God-blessed day. Adios.
Peace.